Welcome back. It's Bill Meyer here on the Faith Radio Network. How do we put all the pieces of life together in order to make sense of the world around us? Joining us to provide some insight into that question is author and Christian apologist Alex McClellan. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Great to be with you.
Before we dive into your book, can you tell us how a nice Scottish boy like you ended up living in San Diego, California?
I know it's the road less traveled from Scotland to San Diego, but my wife and I, with our three kids, we relocated here to San Diego, partly to reach into Asia-Pacific, where we spend a bit of time with our ministry. So our ministry is in the U.S., but also back in Europe and also in Asia-Pacific. And the good news is, the good news of the gospel communicates well around the world. So we are excited to have some great partnerships and churches and ministries we work with in that part of the world.
Can you tell me a bit about reason why international?
The ministry really flows from my passion. My passion really is the fact that a Christian worldview, it does make sense. It resonates with reality in many critical areas. So that for the Christian who wants to share their faith, I really want to encourage them and equip them with confidence that there are good reasons for the belief that they have. And when they start to have some conversations to share their faith, I want to explode some of the myths that sometimes put unnecessary pressure on their shoulders. And also I want to engage with non-Christians, really to encourage them to think about life's big questions. Some of those questions are really put back on the shelf. People think they're too difficult. People think they're out of reach. So I use various ways, including the jigsaw puzzle, as a way to build bridges into conversations that count so that people can start talking about things that really matter.
Now, you've done some work with Ravi Zacharias, is that true?
Ravi and I connected when I was living in Atlanta, en route to seminary back in about 1999. And when I was back in the UK, we were based in Scotland. The ministry started in Scotland. I became an associate with Ravi's organization. And Ravi and his team have always been a great blessing. And our heartbeat is very much the same, too. So it's a great ministry. And I think there are none better than Ravi who communicate the importance of the intellect, but really aligned with the beat of his heart. You know, he has the keen mind, but he has the passion. And both of those things really fused together gives a powerful apologist.
Hmm. Do you feel like Ravi is, in some sense, a mentor to you personally?
Yeah, I've met with Ravi personally a number of times if I'm in Atlanta, and I think that's one of the things, too, that makes the man so special. There's a generosity that he has. Ravi does not lock himself in an ivory tower. You look at his schedule, and you could understand if he did do that, and yet he's so generous with his time, encouraging others, pouring his life into others to encourage those, and just the way that God's worked through him to build an incredible team globally as they serve the cause of Christ around the world. So, yeah, I'm honored for the opportunities I've had to spend with Ravi. I got a beautiful endorsement from Ravi when it came to writing my book, and he's a great encourager to others who are serving, particularly those who've got the same heartbeat.
I've only had a chance to meet Ravi on one occasion, and I must say, whenever I hear him speak, I always feel like a mental midget.
I think we all share that kind of sentiment. And yet, I know I've gone to see him before, and I mean, he locks your gaze. You know, he cares about how you're doing personally. So he's just a terrific, terrific role model in so many ways because he reflects Jesus. That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus was the smartest man who ever lived, and yet he had time for the individual, for the broken person. And when you see that mirrored in someone else, they're mirroring Christ, which is a beautiful thing.
Now, I know you travel around the country and around the world. You talk to a lot of Christians. Let's talk about the U.S. specifically for a moment. How would you assess the average believer's knowledge of Christian worldview and apologetics?
Yeah, I think it's pretty shaky or pretty shallow in a number of ways. But I think the challenge of the information age that we're in at the moment is that Christians certainly are being asked questions they perhaps hadn't been asked before. There was a security in the past because people perhaps didn't have knowledge also to counter some of the Christian claims. So this is a challenging environment that we find ourselves in today, where there's so much information, and yet rather than becoming better educated, it seems people are more confused than ever. Even in a university setting, even there's a prevailing skepticism that seems to be flowing out of all this information. And I've commented on this more than once too, and others have said it too, is that people seem starting to graduate from academic institutions now, convinced of all the things that they don't believe, rather than actually coming out with things that they now do believe. So there's a sense of undermining beliefs that we have, and it leads to this prevailing kind of skeptical attitude that we need to be able to combat. So for Christians, we want to try and say, listen, you know, people have got a lot of questions, they're skeptical, they're perhaps cynical as well, based upon a lot of things that they've seen here in the culture. So for the Christian, we need to be prepared to really build a solid foundation for what we believe, so that even if people don't accept what we have to say, they walk away knowing there are good reasons to consider this, because we know still those reasons will never be enough for someone to actually choose to follow Christ. There'll always be other obstacles that stand in the way. But these reasons, they can give us credibility, they can be a platform for important conversations, and many Christians today, they don't have that. And one of the reasons that they don't want to go deeper is that they've never really been forced to do so, and perhaps are a little bit shaky in their foundation. But there's so many wonderful things that God has given us in His Word and in the world that we can lean on and build upon to really have confidence that what we know is not just helpful to us. It's not just a pragmatic thing we've discovered. We've discovered the truth and the one who says He is the truth. And that's amazing when you grasp that. You have a real anchor in your soul.
How is the evangelical church as a whole doing to equip believers to articulate and defend their faith?
I think a lot of churches are doing some terrific things. One of the concerns I have with churches, and I work with some churches, you and I, we spoke earlier about a church in the San Diego area that we both would be familiar with. They've got a tremendous apologetics ministry, and I love the people involved in that. They're doing a great work. But the trouble is, when I've gone to speak at that apologetics ministry, you have a small percentage of those who go to the church who attend this apologetics ministry. And for many, even within evangelical churches, they see it as a separate compartment. It's a separate segment of ministry. And many, therefore, would say, you know, it's not my thing. It's not something that I'm really that interested in or gifted in. So it becomes compartmentalized. You know, it's not for every believer sometimes, even in the churches that are doing a great job with apologetics. And that always saddens me, because when I go to these events, I say, this is terrific. I want to encourage this ministry. But I want to speak to the people sitting on a pew on a Sunday morning. And I often say, if I'm in a room with 100 people, and 99 are enthusiastic apologists, but there's one guy standing in the corner looking at his shoes thinking, I shouldn't be here. That's the person I want to speak to. That's the person I want to draw alongside. Now, in reality, when we're in a room, there's one ardent apologist normally, and 99 people looking at their shoes. So there's a lot of people who think that this is out of reach, it's not their gifting, but the Bible is very clear that each one of us ought to be ready to be prepared to share the reason for the hope that we have in this world. And it really is a ministry that should touch and impact everyone. So those churches that do a good job, they still find it difficult to break into the larger congregation. And then some churches too, which is a sad thing, they don't see it as important. Maybe they just they think, you know what, this is something the Holy Spirit is going to do, and they don't take on the responsibility that the Bible gives us as well. But I think there are many churches doing a good job, but we need to really reach the broader number of the congregation, which is why even with some of the work that I do, I call it sharing ultimate truth with ordinary people. I want to draw alongside the ordinary person, say, listen, there's something here that God wants to give you to help you and encourage you and support you in reaching out to the people around you.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, Alex, because I have to be honest, it grieves me. It really grieves me that so many followers of Christ don't really know what they believe or why they believe it. And then when they encounter just a average everyday agnostic or atheist, or worse yet, someone who actually has some knowledge of, let's say, the neo-atheist philosophy, they don't know what to say. They get backed into a corner and they get defensive, or they just sputter and give up.
Bill, I think one of the things that can turn people away because they're fearful of being asked questions they don't know the answer to, they don't want to feel like they've let God down, they don't want to appear foolish. So when I return to one of the key verses that people often talk about from 1 Peter 3:15, where Peter says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." I remind people, Peter says, that our responsibility is to give the reason for the hope that we have. we're not responsible to give the reason for the hope someone else has. We don't know what that would be. So we don't have to swallow a Bible dictionary. We don't have to, you know, memorize a concordance to share our faith. Peter says, listen, we need to be ready thinking about why is it we believe what we believe. Those are the reasons we need to be ready to share with other people. Now, each one of us, we know what those reasons are. Maybe we've not thought about them before. We might have to dig a little bit deeper. But if we at least are confident in knowing the reasons why we believe and we share them with someone else, Peter says we do it gently and respectfully, even if that other person spits in our face and turns around and walks away, the Bible says you haven't failed. You've been faithful. And that should lift some of the false sense of responsibility off our shoulders. Sharing our faith is not making a sales call. It's not ticking a box. It's not resulting in a conversion. Otherwise, we failed. We share the reason for the hope that we have gently and respectfully. And the outcome is out of our hands. The outcome is between that person and God. And if we do it gently and respectfully, God says you've been faithful. And so hopefully, as I share that with people, I want to encourage them to say, listen, don't put any false pressure on your shoulders. Be prepared. Think about the reasons why you believe, and there'll be a whole array, variety of reasons, your experiences, things you've read and seen or been exposed to. And as you compile those things together, share them gently and respectfully, and let the Holy Spirit do something marvelous and wonderful, driving those words home to resonate with that person, and really challenge them too.
What a great reminder for all of us. Our guest, apologist Alex McClellan. His book is A Jigsaw Guide to Making Sense of the World. And we'll talk specifically about some of those puzzle pieces up next here on the Faith Radio Network. Welcome back. It's Bill Meyer on the Faith Radio Network talking to Alex McClellan. He is an author, a speaker, and a Christian apologist. His ministry is called Reason Why International. Alex, you wrote this book a couple of years ago, which I loved. It's called A Jigsaw Guide to Making Sense of the World. And it springs from a series of seminars you developed to really equip everyday Christians to defend their faith. Can you kind of explain the jigsaw approach?
Yes, Bill. I found that I was having conversations with people, even if I turned the clock way back to when I was growing up, and I discovered that when it comes to life's ultimate questions, people had stopped asking them. They figured that these things were out of reach. Things like where we came from, why we're here, where we're going, those kind of ultimate questions that do resonate with us, and yet people tend to say, you know what, they're unknowable. And the reason people think they're unknowable is because the one thing that they do know is they understand that when it comes to life, we're never going to find all the answers. And if we're never going to find all the answers, what's the point asking the questions? So growing up with many people, I realized that those questions were put on the shelf. They were considered out of reach. So what I developed through some of the teaching that I was doing was that I recognized that there's a parallel between this world that we live in, which seems like it's broken. It's in a mess, it's confusing, and that's the way I often begin conversations, that this world seems to be broken. I've been in over a dozen countries, and I've never yet had someone say, oh no, it isn't. People can recognize this world is broken, it's confusing, but they recognize that we'll never have all the answers. So I use a jigsaw puzzle as an analogy. I say, if life is like a broken jigsaw puzzle, you know, we're surrounded by all these broken pieces. I agree with you. You know what? We're never going to find all the answers. We're never going to find all the pieces of the puzzle. But something that's very simple about a jigsaw puzzle is this, is that if you want to see the big picture, you don't need every single piece of a puzzle in place. All you need is enough important parts that stand out and fit together. If you could find those, you could stand back with confidence and say, you know, I think I can see the big picture. And people can come alongside me and say, when you look at life, Alec, you've got pieces missing. And I say, hey, I look at life, I have pieces missing. I have some parts I'm holding on to. I'm not sure how they fit. But I can fall back on many, many pieces that stand out and snap into place. And they give me confidence that I can see the big picture. And I believe I know, with a good reason, where we came from. I believe I know why we're here. I believe I know where we're going. And even when it comes to things like why we're here, I work with Christian groups sometimes, and I say, do you realize you have discovered the meaning of life? You know the meaning of life. think of people around the world, if you were to say to them, listen, you know what, would you like to know the meaning of life? They probably would fall off their chair, or they would just think you've gone crazy. But for every Christian, we believe we have discovered the meaning of life. We know why we're here. We know where we came from. We know where we're going. And those are some amazing things. And they're within reach if we realize that you don't need to know everything to know the truth. And by default, it means you don't need to have every answer to every question to share your faith. Just know enough of those pieces, how they snap into place, and be ready to share them with other people.
So why, Alex, why is the Christian faith the most reasonable explanation for the human condition and the way the real world operates?
Well, that is a great question, and it's a question that presents a challenge, because if we stick with the jigsaw analogy for a moment, if life is like a broken puzzle, I say, well, every jigsaw puzzle comes with something that gives them guidance and instructions, and that is the picture on the box. And for every worldview, they present a picture on the box, and there are different pictures on the box. The Christian worldview, for example, that really flows ultimately from the Bible. The Bible is the picture on the box for Christians. The Bible makes a claim, a pretty powerful claim. It says, listen, this is how you fit life's broken pieces back together again. Now, with a claim on that scale, the next thing you could say is, well, let's put it to the test. Let's see if it helps us. Is this helping us snap life's important pieces back into place? Is it helping us make sense of the world? Because there are other competing worldviews. Every religion, for example, presents a different picture on the box, and they make competing claims. So you raise a very good question, because you're really presenting that challenge. You know, Christians are saying, listen, they know what is true about this world. They know how to make sense of this world, and they have a picture on the box. Well, let's see if it fits, if it helps us snap those critical pieces into place. And when you look at things like the origin of life, where did this whole world come from? Did it come from nothing, or did it come from someone? The Christian worldview gives us good reason to believe that there is a creator. Now, we can look at that in terms of looking at the world physically, looking at the cosmos, the universe that we live in, which resonates with what we read in the Bible. You could look at it in terms of things about life, its meaning. Human beings on this planet, they have a longing for meaning. Again, something that if you take God out of the picture, this universe is meaningless. And yet we have this desire for meaning. We have a desire for human beings to be valuable. We're not just, again, from a godless perspective, as Bertrand Russell said, the outcome of an accidental collocation of atoms. I used to work in schools in Scotland and say, listen, you know what, if what you're learning in the science classroom is true, you're basically just a grown-up germ. That's all that you are. And yet we contrast that with what the Bible would say. Here's the picture on the box, according to Christianity. It says, listen, you're not just a grown-up germ. You're valuable. You're stamped with value. You're made in the image of God. And that's a value that the world didn't give you, and the world can't take it away. In terms of the future, we have this longing for life to carry on. Death is difficult for us. And it's curious that death is so inevitable, and yet it's something that we still struggle with. Why have we not evolved to the point that we can just high-five one another at funerals? Death is difficult. It hurts. It seems like it ought not to be somehow. Well, again, you bring in the Bible for the big picture in the box. It says death is difficult. Death is not the way things were meant to be, because God created us for eternity. We have eternity placed in our hearts. And so you bring in this kind of big picture, Bill, this picture on the box. Say, listen, does this help us, or does it hurt us? And we find that it helps us when it comes to making sense of life and the world that we live in. It helps us snap some critical pieces into place. I spoke to one person before, and they said, you know what, maybe Christianity just gets lucky on those issues. I say, wow, we get lucky in terms of origin, meaning, purpose, hope for the future, human value. Well, we get lucky in some very, very critical areas of life. So I don't believe this is just luck. Someone like Richard Dawkins, he looks at a lot of these outcomes and he would say, you know what, we just got very, very lucky. Even with my kids, you talk about things like the Goldilocks zone. What I love saying to people as well, that in Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, where he says belief in God is an illusion, even Richard Dawkins talks about the Goldilocks zone. And the Goldilocks zone, if people don't know what that is people who scientifically look at the position of the Earth in relation to the Sun and say, like the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, the position of the Earth in relation to the Sun is remarkable. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right. The Earth is in the Goldilocks zone. And Richard Dawkins, in his book, The God Delusion, he talks about the Goldilocks zone. But rather than say, you know, this is something that indicates there's someone who's placed it there, he says, well, we just got incredibly lucky. So some people may default to luck, but for the Christian, we can say, listen, we're going to default to reason. It seems reasonable to conclude there's an intelligent agent behind this who has placed the Earth and helped it to remain just in the right zone so that we're cared for and provided for. So these are all kinds of pieces of the puzzle, Bill, that we can snap into place. But certainly the Christian worldview presents a picture in the box. But for Christians, we ought not to be ashamed of it, embarrassed about it. It helps us make sense of life and the puzzle and put those pieces back into place.
Once again, the book is called A Jigsaw Guide to Making Sense of the World. Alex McClellan is the author. Alex, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate your commitment to God's truth and to really teaching, equipping others around the world to be able to articulate their faith.
Bill, thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you again, and God bless you too and the wonderful work you do.